Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to a special edition of the SmackDown Post Show. I am not Kate Elizabeth.
No.
I am Alex Plowski, and this is Alexis Cardoza. And Kate will be up with us as soon as she can. She got off a plane. She's made her way back to her house. This is your post-SmackDown review for August 25th, 2023, the post-Bray Wyatt tribute show. We're going to be talking a lot about that, taking your chats, talking about our reactions, our memories, and just trying to process things. Because as I was talking to my buddy Cardoza here before we went on the air, this is not to say it's not sad, but you kind of expect Terry Funk to go sometime in the next 5 years. Nobody really expects to turn on Twitter for the first time, or X now, for the first time in 4 hours like I did yesterday, and see a bunch of stuff about RIP Wyndham. And I was like, oh, Barry Wyndham died? Because that to me would be a thing. Didn't he already die? I was like Googling things, and then no, it was Wyndham Rotunda, Bray Wyatt, which didn't feel possible. Just didn't feel like it was a possibility. So it truly shocked me. I still don't think I'm processing it. I know, Alexis, you are on the same boat, trying to figure out, like, what even is this? You know, how the idea of everyone who worked with that guy, has nothing but absolute superlatives to say about him, about his creative mind, how kind he was to everybody. Like there is not a soul who worked with that dude who doesn't have wonderful things to say about him. It is an unspeakable tragedy for his friends and family, but also for people, his fans, who connected with him in a way that most fans don't connect with other wrestlers because of just the who he was as a character, but also who he was as a human being. It's a difficult thing to try and parse in a show like this, but we're going to do it.
Yeah.
We're going to have to.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I think for me, the number one, when I look at it, is when I read that tweet by Triple H was, nah. And then I read it again. I'm like, wait, that's a real name attached to a kayfabe name at the very end of it. And it just, I think for me, it was just soul sucking because, you know, for the last, 10 years now, you know, we've seen this dude just come up and leave and come back and leave again, not on his terms, and come back finally on his terms.
Yeah.
And I've been very critical of the creative for him, in the sense of, like, you know, the QR code stuff for me was just like, all right, cool. I understand his genius, but I was like, can we get to it? I want Uncle Howdy here. I want Bray here. I want everything to just happen.
Yeah.
And I think it goes more than just wrestling. And I'll speak on behalf of for my brother, who came back into the wrestling world because of Bray, like fell in love again and was visiting arenas. And he says something to me that was very interesting. And I don't know if any of you guys who are watching right now can attest to this, but he said he would watch Raw and SmackDown and go to pay-per-views, like go to live events, with the hopes that the lights would dim and you would hear the ominous sound every single time, holding to the hope that he would show up.
Yeah.
A big fan. He's gotten the mask, got it signed, got the belt. You know, the Fiend belt has a nasty, insane Fiend tattoo with the mask and everything on his
Wow.
Like, he fell in love with the character. And in a way, my brother was going through some stuff, man.
Yeah. Bray connected with a lot of people who were going through some stuff. Like, to the point where I'm seeing people, what a great soul this dude had. People who he did not know, who were just fans of his, who would DM him going through some stuff, and he would respond with words of encouragement and love. And that is something that, honestly, you do not have to do. That is not a thing that you are obligated to do as but he did it because he knew what somehow what he meant to all of these people.
Yeah. And he helped my brother out a lot in ways that, you know, unfortunately I couldn't, because he connected with the person Wyndham and Bray. Mm-hmm. And even though I was there for him, helping him out with a lot of different thoughts and processes, the character and the overall person who Wyndham was, kind of he related a lot to him. And I think that's a beautiful thing when people find someone outside of their comfort zone that they can relate with and find it. So that's why for me it's just like, oh, it hits because I know he's hurting and other people are hurting and the family's hurting. And I'm a father, and to know that his four kids, it's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot. And it's one of those things where there was a video that Seth Rollins recorded in his car just 4 minutes of him trying to figure out what to say. But like when he gets to the thing about, you know, Bray's, you know, Wyndham's kids, like as a father, when you start to think of it that way, just there's, it gives you such pause. Just the idea of one day you're here, one day you're, and the next day you're gone. And what, like how would that is my greatest fear is to being gone and not being able to,
yeah,
in a flash, not being able to, like, you know, I don't know how, it's weird to prepare my daughter for when I'm not going to be here, just being just gone the next minute and not being able to help somehow prepare her for me not being here,
yeah,
is a horrible fear of mine. So, yeah, it's, I can definitely identify with that. And all the pictures you see of him with his wife,
yeah,
with JoJo and his kids, it's just gut wrenching, man. Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah, absolutely.
We got to celebrate it. And we got to, mm-hmm, it just sucks because when you think about it, dude, I'm 41 years old. He's 36. He's like he's gone. And, yeah, and I don't think, you know, and I'm a person, I suffer a lot of PTSD due to my time in, mm-hmm, war and whatever. So I fear for my own mortality. And I've been very public about this with other veterans. Yeah. Like, it's part of my problem. Like, that's my PTSD. That's where it's at, you know? So when I think about what triggers me is my mortality. And then when I see something like this happen with someone who's 36 years old, I start thinking about their mortality, like how fast this happened, how,
yeah,
quickly we lost them. And God, yeah, dude, it's a scary world we live in.
It is. And it is one of those things, to me that I don't want this to get bogged down in like being maudlin or depressed about it. I want to celebrate.
Yes.
And yet I cannot help but think of the things that we should be right now celebrating so much more that this guy got to do when he was here. And because you think, like, he's only 36, but it feels like he's been around for a really long time. But so much of that time he was around, he wasn't on TV. And like, you think about like the original incarnation, the Swamp Billy cult leader with the fedora and the Hawaiian shirt, and how that guy at the time like felt like, oh, this is the next dude who's gonna run things for like 20 years.
Yes.
And all they did was get in his way.
Yeah.
And it never really came to fruition. I don't want to do this thing about, you know, pointing blame, but I really feel like when we got to see all these things that he did, I'm like, I remember watching that promo they would show a clip from, or somebody posts on, you know, on social media. I remember watching that promo and thinking, this is it. This is where he turns it around. They're going to get behind, yeah, him. And the next week they buried him in some stupid, yeah, segment. And it always made me feel so bad for him because I knew he had these great ideas and the ability to see those ideas to fruition. And maybe we didn't get enough Bray Wyatt. While he was here, we didn't get enough of what he could do. I will absolutely miss that guy, and the thought in my head was, I can't wait to see what that guy comes up with next.
Yeah.
That I will miss having those thoughts about him more than anybody else.
And that's the hard part, because we were waiting for the return. We were getting all of these, you know, through Fightful, we were getting all these, you know, positive feedback, mm-hmm, moments, mm-hmm, of like, hey, he said he had a really bad setback, but guess what? He's mm-hmm, doing better. He's doing, mm-hmm, great. We're going to have him come back. You know, life threatening, but he's kicking out at two, so on and so on. And then, you know, for this to happen, it's pretty freaking insane. But
yeah,
as the world turns, you know, like, we just, yeah, now got to find our way. Mm-hmm. You know, and I said this before, Alex, that, you know, every decade or so we lose a big name. in professional wrestling. It started when we were younger. Owen, Test, all these people, you know, like Brian Pillman, 37 years old.
Yep.
You know, didn't really resonate or hit at the time because I was younger, so I wasn't as, you know, I was dumb. But now when I'm older, you kind of look back at it. And then, you know, I'll get into it one day, but it's just a long list of, like, these 30-year-old wrestlers who just, you know, just unfortunately move over to the other side. But it's just, it's crazy. I do hope that, I don't know what WWE does now, you know, with how do they move forward with, obviously they will, it's a machine, it has to continue moving forward. But what do they do with that? You know, how do they deal with it? You know, I know a lot of people have been posting about the Hall of Fame thing and stuff like that. He definitely does have a Hall of Fame worthy caliber career.
Oh, absolutely.
Won championships, and he strived. He left didn't leave the company on his terms, right? He was let go, but came back. He was very open and honest with his promo about how we helped him and we kept him going when he was at his darkest, you know, like, so, you know, we got a lot of stuff to look forward to for him.
Yep. I'm going to read some of your super chats. Super chats, of course, please. At the bottom of the YouTube here, and Humper Chats at humperchats.com. You can send those in as well. We'll be reading them through the night. Bizarro Big L says, seeing the Bray news flash on my phone breaks my heart. Brian's Wyatt family run was one of my first matches. I hope Bray and Brody are by the fire together again. Tears aren't enough for him and his family. The whole world in his hands. I need ice cream. I think we all need ice cream.
Yeah, we all need ice cream, brother.
We all need some ice cream. Absolutely. Kim Gray sent in this from about 12 hours ago. My son, almost 12, loved Bray so much. He was so invested in everything that man did. This is such a gut punch. It's true. It's true. Kim also says, hey, fellas, saw the opener on my way to the football game. To a football game, cried as I was driving. My son's favorite. I found the video of my beau at 5, recreating the entrance with a battery-operated lantern and fedora. That video, I've seen that. That is that is so, like, it's adorable at the time, and now in retrospect, it is just very, very sad. It's crazy how much he connected, even with, like, little kids, you know. He had such a magnetic personality and presence.
Yes,
of all ages. Zach Barber saying, sending strength and love to Bray's family, especially his kids, and also to Eric Rowan, who's now lost his two closest friends. Life is unfair. Tonight we're all fireflies. To paraphrase Elton John, Bray's lantern blew out long before his legend ever will. That's profound.
That's strong.
So the opening of the show, was everyone gathered on the stage, to do the 10 bell salute for both Terry Funk, who we'll also talk about on this show. And I feel like this show probably would have been about that if we hadn't lost Bray. It would have been like, hey, Terry Funk, let's talk about Terry Funk. And we're going to talk about Terry. The crowd on the stage for the 10 bell salute included Triple H in the middle, and on to flanking him on either side was Eric Rowan, Eric Redbeard, as he's now known, and Braun Strowman, who is out rehabbing after a neck injury.
Neck surgery thing. Yeah.
Neck surgery. So, but just looking at, like, Eric Rowan, like, he had his eyes closed through the whole thing, just to go through losing Brody. And then, like, December 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it doesn't feel like that long ago in the scheme of things. It really doesn't. And the last time when we lost Brody, I did a impromptu solo show that what a lot of people were trying to piece it together. I can't imagine like losing the first and then a few years later losing the other one and having them both go in a way that you couldn't be prepared for, really. He obviously, it was a really nice touch that they had him come in to stand there to know that, like, everyone knows that his connection, even if he's not with the company anymore, and Braun to come in, even though he's out with an injury, and just to be able to be there. There's a photo that that is circulating of the two of them kind of hugging near the rocking chair.
Yeah.
The video tribute to Bray was just beautiful. And it is so well done. Amazing stuff by the video team with WWE, who always turns out such great work. It ended with just the spotlight on the rocking chair, which got me. I was holding it down through the video package. It was tough, but the rocking chair thing got me. It was a really touching, beautiful tribute. Wrestling with Movies says having Rowan there was so great, but he's been through too many of these. Heart shatters for that guy. Absolutely. Somebody said the only thing that can make me smile through this is the thought of Bray getting to the pearly gates and Brody's waiting for him like that. Just the image of that. I hope that's the way it works, you know, like that.
Yeah.
It'd be a wonderful thing if you know, it was gorgeous. Yeah.
We feel for the friends and the people around the crew, everyone there, you know, and then you got to break down the layers. Uh-huh. A dad lost his son, you know, parents
are
involved in this, family members. You got wives. Now you got two widows that lost, you know, and Bray was a big part of Brody's life. And, you know, Amanda and them, you know, they were part of everything Bray was doing as well. So it's crazy. It's just, I cannot, the world of wrestling is so niche. And our community is so small, you know, that we spend more time fighting each other about stupid shit.
Yes.
Which makes no sense. Like, which company's better and whose numbers, that we forget about that the people who are there entertaining us are human beings like you and I, who still talk to each other, regardless of what company they're in, having fun with their friends.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Jay Miller saying phenomenal tribute show tonight. Bray always kept you on your toes as a performer. And he brings up the tag match, which was not a hardcore match.
Oh, jeez.
We'll talk about that when we get
to a lighter note now. We'll turn it back to normal business here.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. Aaron H. saying, I'm going to be honest. I watched the opener and got upset at losing such a wrestling mind and upset this company hurried such a talent. I don't know. There was so much that so much left on the table with what that guy could have done, which is part of the tragedy. Wrestling with Movies says, I just rewatched the Firefly Funhouse match today, which is free on YouTube. Remembering for any type of entertainment during the pandemic, and he delivered that masterpiece is the only thing I can call it. Him and John made magic. I watched it last night. I went back and watched it. It's still, to this day, will always be to me one of the most. It was almost creative perfection.
Yeah.
And the fact that they put it together, it's so funny to think, but like if COVID doesn't hit and that WrestleMania happens regular, it's probably just John Cena beating the Fiend in a regular ass match.
You're right.
You know what I mean? So instead, we got this brilliant thing from the mind of Bray and from Cena that still blows my mind with the story they were able to tell in about 15 minutes.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah. Let's see here. Alan Velasquez is saying, great tribute show to both Bray and Funk. A wrestler passing hasn't affected me this much since Brody Lee. I'm going to genuinely miss Bray Wyatt. He was a really was a creative genius. RIP. Yeah. He was a creative genius. There's just like, even if it wasn't for you, you have to think that nobody else was doing something like, hey, what if this guy was like a Mr. Rogers knockoff, but also a demon clown? Nobody else is having ideas like that. Nobody else is getting those put on TV. Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
Nobody was thinking outside the box.
Right.
Basically. Yeah. And he challenged that. He challenged that from the get-go.
Yeah. JW Pringle says, Alex Squared, thanks for being here. Rest in peace, Bray.
Glad to be here with all of you guys.
Absolutely. May the Fireflies light your way. Love to the Fightful and the SGS family. Thanks, JW.
Thank you.
Josh Tolman says, maybe it's the fact that I just became a father to a girl 5 months ago, but seeing him with his daughter combing her hair is what got to me the most. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That
was rough.
I can't think about it because I start breaking down again. Those kids, just those, those kids,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Knock Bogan saying, I've been in a mental fog for the last 2 days. It still doesn't feel real. The man was only 36, 5 years older than me. Rest in peace, Bray Wyatt. Oh, yeah, only 36. It's just it's far too young to go. Far too young. DNC Digital saying, one thing I never knew to prepare for as a fan was wrestling losing someone. My daughter was wrestling losing someone my daughter was a fan of. She admired him and his creativity. She's really sad about it, and I wish I could make it better. Yeah, that's a rough one, man. We've kind of kept my daughter away from watching wrestling because she's a sponge, and she'll be doing top rope elbow drops off the furniture. So we'd like to avoid those hospital bills. So we're keeping her away from that stuff. But I can't imagine. What it would be like with, you know, if her favorite Disney princess like died suddenly. I don't know how I would talk to her about that. You know, I'm sure she would be horribly upset about it. That is a really rough one. How to talk to him about that kind of thing. Ronald Hollick saying, all I can think of in my head is a phenomenal tag team match going beyond the gates in Jay Briscoe and Terry Funk versus Brody Lee and Bray Wyatt. You know that the old song, if there's a rock and roll heaven, you know they got a hell of a band. If there's a wrestling heaven, there's a hell of a card that you can put together. Like really, really great stuff. And two of them just got added to the card for sure.
I often think like McMahon, Vince, has lived through a lot of people passing away. And when you think about the way that we understand the business, and it's a giant business, it's all about money. But at some point, you have to break it down and bring it to, like, did he think of them as his own kids, like, especially when they start passing away? Yeah. And now you look at someone like Triple H. Triple H looked like he lost it in the beginning of that tribute.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, someone like he who brought Bray back, you knew he brought him back.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of his kids, and God, this, you know, the show must continue going, but then you go home and you sit in an empty room where it's dark and quiet. And then how do you deal with that? That's crazy to me. Like I think about even those people that are involved in this.
Yeah. Paul L saying, got back into wrestling, watching Bray and the Shield. I was deployed when Mania 30 happened. And it played while I was on duty watching him, brought me back with how surreal he was. Always had me gripped. He knew how to captivate an audience for sure. And yeah, I don't think WWE has ever done a six man that was like better in the WWE. The absolute apex of what WWE tag wrestling can be if because other some things you'll just never get to see in WWE, yeah. But they pushed the envelope right up to it. The Wyatt family versus the Shield Elimination Chamber, 13, whatever that was.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Like 10 years ago, like that was so good. Just amazing. The kind of stuff that we got to do, and there's so many like just mini tragedies and what ifs of, you know, the thing everyone immediately went back to last night was the random Raw where they paired him up with Roman Reigns and they beat the League of Nations and he fired Roman's spear out of his finger gun at Sheamus. And everyone was like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened. And they immediately got on a plane and flew to Italy to start a European tour. And he screwed up his ankle in the first match. And he was still too hurt when they got back from the tour. And they never revisited the plans were for him and Roman to team together for a while and figure that out. I that is my biggest what if in wrestling that I have been a fan of, is what they were going to do with Bray and Roman coming out of that ridiculous moment, because it was so good, man.
It's a lot. It's just, the what ifs are going to hit us for a long time. I mean, I remember when Eddie passed away and he wasn't, you know, he was past his, you know, 30s, and it's just, that was tough. Till this day, we still honor Owen Hart with the Owen Hart tournament in AEW. Like, come on, man. Like, how crazy is that? And he was taken from us. It wasn't something that, like, oh God, tragically happened physically, that we were like, oh no, you know, he can't wrestle anymore, he broke his neck, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
No, he was instantly taken from us from you know, whatever ailments he had. Crazy.
Yeah. Joe Compton saying that WWE 2K24 should have a Bray Wyatt showcase and have the Fiend as a playable character as well as the cover star,
instead of a freaking DLC like they have now.
Yeah, that's true. Taylor Cannon saying RIP Bray Wyatt. I feel for his children. So heartbreaking for
them. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I can't just...
Pray for his family, man.
Like, yeah, his family. Like, the you know, a wife lost a husband. Children lost a father.
Four kids, man. And one of them's young enough to not that they're not gonna remember him.
Not gonna remember.
It's a baby that there's gonna be JoJo and the family telling them, this is what your daddy did and this is who your daddy was.
I think the best solace that if we can have any is to know that there's so much that she can still see of her dad being totally unique and connecting with so many people. But also, like, I ventured that anybody who he ever knew in the business would be happy to sit down with that kid and tell her stories about the man that her dad was. Because, like, everyone tells just little interactions he would have with people who were up and coming in the business backstage that they took to heart for the rest of their, like, up until right now, that they still remember, like Josh Alexander, one of the greatest wrestlers in the world from Impact, talking about how he was an extra in 2012.
Oh yeah.
And Bray could see that he was nervous backstage. He's like, hey man, you're cool. I'm glad that you're here. Like, just, he didn't have to do any of that, but that's who Bray was. And it was, it's just amazing. So I guess we'll come back to these and try and get through whatever this is. We got Rey Mysterio versus Grayson Waller to start the night. I think it was, anybody who came out first after that tribute package played was in for a rough one, but Rey. Of course it's Rey. Rey is the guy who's been through this too many times to count. And also everyone's happy to see Rey Mysterio. You know, that was a good choice to have him do that. The match is, you know, it's fine. It's, you know, building something for Payback, I guess, because Austin Theory comes out, then Santos attacks Austin Theory to prevent him from interfering, and that leads to a tag match next week on the go home show for Payback.
Yeah.
That's it. So there we go.
That's it.
And now we're back to things people actually want to talk about.
And back to your normal days. Yeah. Programming.
Yeah. Jonathan Corona saying, losing Bray Wyatt. This sucks, man. He's very young. I'm sad for Bo Dallas because that is his brother.
That's another one, man.
What's going to happen? I hope WWE push him to the moon for Bo Dallas. Man, that's one of those things that I was so looking forward to that obvious payoff they were going to have.
Yeah,
with the Uncle Howdy and Bray and Bo thing that was going to be eventually. I mean, they put it off. They didn't do it this year at Mania. They'll probably do it eventually, I said. But I was so looking forward to that. And Bo, I think, you know, he was back in the company because his brother was going to work with him and do this. And I don't know what Bo wants to do with his life now after losing his brother like this. I don't know what he wants to do.
And it's no secret. We spoke about it on Wrestling with Freddie. If anybody's a new listener or viewer, I'm his producer at the Wrestling with Freddie podcast. And, you know, he runs his own, has this idea of like running his own wrestling company. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he's part owner of the Premier Streaming Network. And it's crazy because he was actually, he said this, he was going to sign Bray.
Yeah.
To his federation. Yeah. And part of that was he was going to bring Bo with him as well.
Yeah.
And as he was ready to sign the dotted line, WWE called.
Right.
And he told them, go do what you got to do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it's just crazy because he had a really good, he still has a good connection with the, you know, Wyndham's family and all this stuff. So it's just crazy, man. Like, yeah. Crazy. It's just crazy. Crazy that the directions that people could have gone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just insane.
Yeah.
So Bo, long story short, Bo, that was part of Bray's deal.
Yeah.
Wherever he went, he wanted Bo there.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show you guys how much he, you know, loved and he was not going to go anywhere unless Bo was going to be able to go with him.
Yeah. And I think that also speaks to what a great dude Bray Wyatt was that like,
for sure,
you know, this it's as I honestly thought years ago, there was an awesome storyline in there for Bo to be like the younger brother of the Wyatt family kind of a thing, you know, and Bray kind of like, bringing him up to be more than just the little kid, but the true successor to the like, you know, I won't be here forever, brother, kind mm-hmm. of a thing. Like, and ironically, that was something I pitched forever ago. But just the idea of that is, it's really sad now, honestly, when I think about it. Anthony Velasquez saying favorite Bray moment is definitely Bray winning the WWE title in 2017, even though WWE didn't handle the reign well. No, they didn't. The moment of him winning the title will be something I will always remember. Yeah, him winning it in the chamber. That I remember very well, but also him coming out for the first time on SmackDown with the title.
Oh my God.
And the crowd just not letting him talk because they were just, you deserve it. And, you know, like just chanting for him. And you could tell how much it meant to him that everyone was so happy for him, a nominal villain to be the champion because everyone wanted Bray to have good things was, jeez. You know, it was such a wonderful moment that he got to have there. And yeah, they did not handle that title reign very well, but
we can say that
about a lot of stuff, but it was, that moment was great. Absolutely great. Wrestling with Movies saying it is a comfort that we know that Bray and Brody are up there shooting the shit, talking about ideas to bless heaven's wrestling world with. Definitely. Coy Stallings says, no word to describe how I feel right now. Him and Brody having a classic right now. RIP. Wembley is a tribute to Funk and Bray. Eddie and John about to go crazy. That's the thing to me is that we'll talk more about this when we get to the hardcore tag match. But I think that there's some stuff, a lot more Terry Funk tributes that you will see at Wembley. So back to SmackDown, I guess. Io Sky had a match versus Lena Vega, Damage Guitar, talking about backstage, and Bayley with a Bray armband, which was a nice touch. They didn't do as much as I thought they were going to do. The little like, you know, video clips that ran throughout the night for Bray were nice. I saw a lot of people on social media say, like, thinking this was going to be more akin to what AEW did for Brody Lee's passing.
Yeah.
And kind of like, well, bring Rowan back in for one match. It's kind of a tribute thing, you know, or, you know, have more people like actually talk on a microphone about it. Something maybe a little bit more like what AEW did for maybe Jay Briscoe's passing as well. Like, it is what they do is what they do. But I remember, I don't remember Eddie's, because I wasn't watching at that time. There was a few months I would take off here and there, but I remember watching the Monday Night Raw after Chris Benoit was found dead, and they stopped everything everyone is going to talk on camera right now, like with their feelings about how great this dude was before they figured out he was not a great dude.
Owen Hart too.
And Owen Hart too.
had a lot of segments where they were talking. So with the same thing with Eddie, I remember there was just a lot of talking segments. You know, they would have your match, but you would go backstage and you would have your sit down interviews with all these superstars. And I don't understand. And I guess this is the problem when you're now a corporation like they are, and they have to answer to everyone else. And, you know, for us fans, we understand how much we love everything that happened. But for the people on the top, it's totally different.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, you got to run the show the way it's meant to run. Like, let's go. Like, you know, and unfortunately, that's just how corps work, man. So I think that the reason why we're not seeing that classic WWE having to sit down interviews, what you did see is you had a couple people come out, like a Cody and an LA Knight, and you had a Michael Cole open up the show. But that is very, very corporate-like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not AEW. AEW is allowed to pretty much doing whatever they want because that's who they are. They're in a private company. So, I wish that WWE would kind of go back to that kind of stuff. Yeah. It would be cool to kind of see them, you know, whenever something happens. And, you know, one person that I know, we talked about everyone that we've seen, my man, Randy Orton, who had an insane feud with him.
Two
of them.
Two of them. Like, two really long, drawn out, that culminated in, like, WrestleManias. Like, they were doing, they did a lot of stuff together.
The burning of the house, all that good stuff.
The burning of the house and the burning of the Fiend in two and separate, two separate feuds.
I know his wife put out that he was hurting,
That
he was home and he was hurting bad. So it's crazy.
Yeah. Luis mentioning that Adam Pearce, Top Dollar, and more are posting sit down tributes on their social media. Similar to the ones AEW talent did for Brody.
I think that's what they're going to do, to be honest. I think because this is just who they are. They're paying. They have advertisers, and they have so many things that they have to, you know, put into the show that I think what we're going to be seeing is that we're going to be seeing a lot of WWE.com exclusives.
Yeah. Yeah. Io defeated Zelina. Decent little match. They're making a big deal about it being Io's first title defense. I don't know if, I mean, it's weird to me, like, this is the week before a pay-per-view, you know, a PLE. So I don't know if there was, I will say is this. I could understand if your thought was, okay, well, we gotta move on. Like Bray would understand, we gotta move on in some way because the thing progresses. So we gotta make sure we do at least X, Y, and Z to really set up the big show that's happening a week from tomorrow. Yeah. I would understand if that was the case, but it did not appear to be that the case because they really didn't do a lot of that. If I would have thought, okay, so we're getting this EO and Zelina thing because at the end of it, Asuka's going to come out and we're going to get announced EO versus Asuka at the pay-per-view next week.
Right.
We didn't do that. No, nobody came out to like, so we don't even know if EO has a match at that. And then we already knew going into tonight that we were going to get Austin Theory versus Ray at Payback. So, you know, and I guess they announced later that we were going to get LA Knight versus The Miz, but you could do that on Raw because that's where The Miz is. So there's a lot of stuff that they could have done. The big thing, the big angle they were going to run tonight was Jimmy Uso being on TV, but they're going to do that next week. So it doesn't appear like there was this urgency of we got to set up all the matches for next week because they didn't really do that. So yeah, that is going to be interesting seeing what they do next week to set up a card that I think as of now has like four matches on it.
Yeah, it's Payback though.
Also, we know brand split means nothing, so they could set up all the matches on Raw. Honestly,
I think that's done. that lasted. I mean, God, I don't know what they're gonna do for Survivor Series.
Yeah,
they're just gonna have regular 5-on-5s.
Well, it's gonna be War Games. It's gonna be Judgment Day.
There it is.
Versus Cody Rhodes and his band of baby faces. I'm sure is what it's gonna be.
Great way to go around it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so a fine little match between EO and Zelina. EO gets her win back after Zelina. They pointed out Zelina had beaten her twice over the summer. So that's it. There we go. More of these here about Bray wrestling with movies saying, I read that one already. Thank you for that one. Don saying, can't stop thinking about his family, especially his children. Then tonight, seeing everyone on stage, I couldn't help but want to hug all of them, hoping they can all find the strength to keep pushing forward. Yeah, there's something that you, so many people who are just doing like little simple things in front of their phone camera and posting it to Instagram or whatever, you can tell it's like really, really hard to talk about.
Yeah.
And yeah, you got to move on, but it's not like it's not going to be really, really hard. So, yeah. Cheryl Walensky saying the video tribute and spotlight on the rocking chair broke me. And I hope Dean Malenko reaches out to Eric because he knows what this is like. RIP Bray. It is. It's very hard.
The Radicals lost their members.
Yeah, everybody. Dean's the last one, basically.
Jesus Christ.
So Cody Rhodes came out to pay tribute to Terry Funk because of this connection that his dad had with Terry.
Yeah.
That was a fun little story. Tastefully done. Very nice. More of like it is so odd, it's noticeable. The difference in tone between the video packages for Bray and Terry. It was like wistful and remember when Terry Funk, what a great old dude. Savage is gone, but we can think back to and the one for Bray was like, this is the saddest thing ever.
It is.
And there is a difference. I always maintain this, that there is a difference between somebody who's had a full life. Doesn't matter how sad it is that your friend is gone or your family member, they had a full life and they got to do whatever they were going to do. And somebody who gets taken from us far too young. You're right. Mr. DXZ, Thank you. I did not mean to inadvertently kill Perry Saturn. Perry Saturn is, in fact, still alive.
Perry, if you're honestly listening, you're allowed to come on the show.
I forgot that he was part of the New Radicals, but that was a major oversight of my point, on my part. So thank you for letting me know. So the tribute from Cody Rhodes to Terry Funk was very fitting.
Beautiful, yeah.
The tribute to Terry Funk in the form of a Terry Funk hardcore match was not.
Oh.
So Luis reminding us that the Kentucky Commission prohibits bleeding in wrestling because they hate fun. I would say there's no bleeding necessary. Like, there is if you're really going to do a real Terry Funk spot. If you're really going to do a Terry Funk tribute, you're going to have to do some bleeding. But if you're going to call it a Terry Funk hardcore match and the only thing that's hardcore is one guy goes through a table, what they did...
Single table.
Yeah, one table. They did not tag in and out. So all you had to do, and Robert DeFelice helping us with this suggestion, all you had to do was call it a Terry Funk Memorial Texas Tornado match because he was from Texas. You didn't have to call it hardcore if you weren't going to let it be hardcore. All that would have required it to be a little bit more hardcore is if it's a hardcore match, let a guy take a couple of chair shots to the back. Let a dude bust out a kendo stick. I mean, you don't have to full on gig yourselves. Just do something more than one table, because it was not very hardcore to me.
I'm sure they got fined when they saw LA Knight's head bleeding. $76,233.65 for that.
Yeah. 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 It was a fine little match. It was fun. These are four fun dudes to watch. Good. But it wasn't a hardcore match. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It was
yeah.
Far from yeah. anything hardcore.
Luis telling us that AEW began Rampage with a graphic to paying tribute to Ray tonight, which is very classy of them.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, as we just heard this from MJF a couple of days ago, where he was like talking to a bunch of people in some interview, and was like, "Hey guys, it's not that serious. You don't have to fight with each other. We're all friends. We're all rooting for each other, no matter what company we're working with. You know what I mean?" No. And absolutely, there's no better example of that than everybody that I've seen who works with AEW posting stuff about how sad they are that Bray Wyatt is
gone. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it is.
I mean, Renee Paquette basically put and added WWE.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, saying, you know, that her heart goes out to everyone who was working tonight's show, that it wasn't, I'm pretty sure she wasn't, it wasn't very easy. Yeah. So these wars exist because of the stupid fans. I'm sorry. Yeah, and I'm one of them. Like, I'll poke the bear here and there and argue, but in a not in a malicious way. I do it in a way where, like, I want to try to see if I can find a middle ground and have some type of debate. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, these people just take it to another
right
another freaking level, and I'm like, I'm done, man.
Yeah,
I watch both companies, idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There you go.
And I include Impact and everyone else that I watch on the side, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. The Street Profits won, mainly because they took it. The only thing really taking advantage of the no disqualification is that Bobby Lashley speared Pete Dunne. Speared old Butch, speared him out of his Butch boots, and then they did their new double team finisher, which is some kind of like, it's like a sky high into a neck breaker.
Double clothesline. Just kidding.
they did that to Ridge and got the pin. So there you go.
Yeah, that, I saw that one coming. That was written on the wall from a mile away.
Luis wants
great hardcore fight though.
Yeah, super hardcore. Luis wants Pete Dunne versus Bobby Lashley 1-on-1, and I feel like we're probably going to get that at some point. But I don't.
At NXT UK.
Yes, something like that. Elite Biscuits says there have been times when I have been genuinely concerned that I can't cry. Tonight cleared that up. The open and close really hit me. RIP to a visionary, by all accounts, a wonderful human being. Just unfair. It is. It's just unfair. And yes, by all accounts.
Yeah, man.
Wonderful dude. There's a story, and a lot of people told different stories, but like the story that that Mustafa Ali posted on Twitter about how where they were trying to get 205 Live off the ground, they did a full, like a exclusively 205 Live tour, trying to see if they could do that live events with it. And, you know, they weren't selling tickets because they didn't really push the cruiserweights on TV. So why would anybody want to go, you know, anyway? So they added to the tour Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy to try and move some tickets. And he remembered going up to Bray backstage in the locker room and saying, "Hey man, sorry you got dragged along into this thing with us." And Bray saying, "Hey man, the only way this business works is when we all help each other out."
Yeah.
Like that, that just being his immediate sentiment about the whole thing is really what made him so special. And him, Cedric Alexander posting a thing like just as the Cruiserweight Classic was starting, before any of the Cruiserweights were signed, like he was working at the PC trying to train for a comeback, and Cedric Alexander walked up to him saying, like, "I just wanted to introduce myself. Like, I know who you are. I can't wait to see you guys work." Like that kind of a thing. Before Cedric was even signed to the company, like he knew who he was and was looking forward to watching him. Like, he's
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great stuff. Mike the Jeweler sent in a very generous Humper Chat saying, "Bray truly had the whole world in his hands. He was magic. Rest in peace, Bray. Hope the Fireflies and the Buzzards lead you to Brody. Wrestling Heaven just got their next tag team champs."
Now he holds us in his hands.
Yeah, that's true. That is, yeah, that's something, very special.
I hope that they talk about him in 15 to 20 years as much as we like to talk about Eddie Guerrero and you know, legends of the past, because even though he didn't have a story 20-year career, you know, what he has done and who he's battled with in the ring and his creative genius and the way he twisted everything around deserves, because I'm gonna tell you something, boys and girls, like, we if we're my age, we grew up watching the likes of Undertaker, Kane, you know, and we knew there was never going to be anyone like it, but somewhere in there God snuck in Bray Wyatt and showed us no, this is here's someone else but different, and that you're gonna love. And we had him, and we lost him, like it's done. It wasn't a full career like Terry Funk, 55 years of wrestling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're talking about 10 to 12 years, and that was it. It's just like, I hope that they do so, because that character, everything about it, I hope 15, 20 years from now, we're still somehow involving that into it, you know?
Yeah. I agree. I think that I think it'll be one of those things of that fans, our generation, younger, the kids who grew up watching him, will pass on to the younger fans who never got a chance to see Bray. Oh man, that guy was a force of nature. They'll recount famous promos. They'll talk about the angles that he did. I mean, listen, I don't. I know for a fact I will be able to recount everything about the Firefly Funhouse match and all of the Easter eggs that it pointed to, like from the past. I'll be able to do that to people in 20 years. You know, I will absolutely be able to tell everybody everything about it because that's how.
And as much as I complained about these stupid QR codes, it was he was telling a story.
Yeah,
he was telling a story his way. Pat McAfee tweeted and said, you know, that Bray Wyatt tribute effed him up.
Yeah.
36 years old and had reinvented himself effortlessly through his career. Beloved by everyone, us as fans and everybody behind the scenes, rest easy. So true.
So we got a TMZ staged video where they talked to the Miz. It was like, "Hey, Miz, how about that guy, LA Knight? He sure is popular, don't you think? Popular, yeah, sure he is. Like MySpace is popular."
I thought it was so funny that the guy sounded like a real TMZ guy.
Yeah, he probably was, but they absolutely told the dude where to be, to where show he, up, yeah, what yeah, to yeah. say. Yeah, exactly.
We know LA Knight.
what we watched was take four. Like, they definitely had tried that a few times, different things. But anyway, so the Miz is talking crap about LA Knight. So LA Knight comes out. And first, to start off the whole thing, says this is about tonight's about Bray Wyatt. And without, you know, belaboring the point, LA Knight was the last match. The last match, the only match of Bray Wyatt's last run was the thing everybody crapped all over. The Pitch Black Mountain Dew match. And I would, like, in hindsight, especially now that the man is no longer with us, I feel like it was presented to him. All right, you're doing a Pitch Black Mountain Dew match, you know? What do you have? Do you have any ideas that could fit in the framework of that? And he's like, black lights, you know, like just trying to figure out how to make this work within the framework that he has given. Like, was that his idea? No. Was it like, how do I make this thing you're giving me work that makes sense with my character? You know what I mean? That kind of a thing. But LA Knight cut a really touching tribute, saying like, "We had battles. You know, he pushed me, whatever." He said that what he actually was getting me ready for anything. So everybody out there who's chanting "Thank you, Bray," I will add one from me. Thank you, Bray, for that. The LA Knight feud with Bray, I think there was, it said something. They're like, well, I honestly don't know what they thought, but I know what I thought of LA Knight at the time, which was, even if people think, oh my God, they're burying LA Knight, lost in a Mountain Dew match. I was like, if there's one dude who's equipped to get himself back over again after what is perceived to be a burial, it's this guy. He was thought of as a guy who you could put with Bray and make it work. It's absolutely, that's so true. I think it was a really nice tribute that he added to Bray there, talking well about him. But then he brought it back to the Miz. And the Miz, nobody cares about you.
Like, this is dude. He
laid into him. He laid into him. But he also said, one time you had a stunt double, and people cared more about him than you. Because Miz Dow was awesome.
He went deep on him, bro.
He did.
And I'm here for it. I'm very happy with it. I'm glad that he did. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you can tell when he first came out, this was running up here. And how do I convey this? Mm-hmm. And still be who I am as LA Knight and still do it in a way where it's tasteful. And he did it. He did it beautifully, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, I goddamn. And then, you know, earlier in the show, you saw, you know, Corey Graves, who came up with Bray in the old OVW days and all that stuff. He just, like, his lips were quivering bad. Yeah. Like when he was talking, like in the beginning, I was like, oh man, like it's a lot, man. Like, people don't understand this. This is a traveling family. They're, you know, you're with each other week after week, you know, pay per views, all this stuff, like flying across the world to do stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
he finished it with, like, Miz, I'm not hard to find, but if you think you're going to come after me. I have one word that a wise man once taught me, run. It's great.
Yeah, man, that was great. That
was a great little tribute. And then Finn Balor versus LA Knight. Finn Balor, they were, you know, like one of the great rivals of Bray Wyatt. Well, yeah, I mean. Yes, he was the guy that the Fiend debuted against at SummerSlam, 2019. Still, that's another thing I'll never forget, seeing the Fiend for real for the first time, his first entrance, hearing that music for the first time, that rendition of his original theme, coming out. Yeah. He came out with his own severed head as a lantern.
Remember that?
That was great. One of the coolest ideas. Like, no, this guy. Is dead. I killed him and I fashioned his head into a lantern. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I remember watching as I was watching that while I was watching the WWE YouTube watch along, and Johnny Gargano was watching that entrance. And everyone else was talking amongst themselves, but Johnny Gargano was transfixed and his jaw just slackened. And he's like, his eyes got far away, and he was like, "This is the most horrifying thing I've ever seen." And, like, it was.
I remember that. Yeah,
it was so good. It was awesome. He got to have, and the best part about it to me, for Finn, was that they wrote him off of WWE main roster and back to NXT, where he had the best run of his WWE overall career. Like, that year he spent in NXT was amazing. I so wish I could see that Finn again, because this whole thing running around with the goth kids doesn't work for me. But that the leather jacket where he got a chance to reference the Fiend in that first promo, where they told me to lay down for a clown. Like, it was like he was pissed at everybody. It was great. I loved that run for Finn. But also, do you remember the other time that we almost got Bray Wyatt versus Finn, but didn't?
When?
2017, I think, was TLC 2017. That was when the Mumps went around the locker room.
Oh my God.
And they were supposed to get, we got just impromptu AJ Styles versus Finn Balor for the first time since Japan.
Yes.
But also Roman Reigns was out, and so we never got the Shield like reunion match. We got Kurt Angle in the SWAT vest instead of Roman, but we were supposed to get Sister Abigail, Bray Wyatt as Sister Abigail versus Demon Pumpkin Finn. Like, they showed a mock-up of what the makeup was going to look like. It was all like orange and black. Because it was right before Halloween.
I remember.
They were going to do Pumpkin King Demon Balor versus Sister Abigail. And then they never revisited it. Whenever Bray was healthy, they just forgot about it and moved on. That was crazy. That was almost a thing that we saw. So they just said, okay, we're going to get Finn Balor over here versus LA Knight. And the match was good. was a really good match, a nice tribute to Bray. Just like these two guys, like having a really good one. And LA Knight wins clean because Finn Balor has had the two most recent title matches for Seth Rollins' title on Raw. It means something that they've decided to put LA Knight over him clean. At least I hope it does. Because they're giving him mic time. They're letting this dude shine. They're allowing him to win matches for a change. This is hopefully something really good can come out of this for LA Knight, because they had sent him out there in the main event of the Bray Wyatt tribute show, show they knew a lot of people were going to be tuning in to see, and they put him over in it. Like, that is that they said it was the biggest win of his career. And while that feels like hyperbole, I don't think it is actually. At least in the main roster for sure. So we'll see if this leads to better things coming out of this. But I thought it was a fine little match. And LA Knight winning was a big deal. And then he got to, salute the fans, walk up the ramp.
That's it.
And they started the power down.
Jeez, that
bad. They started powering it down for the Fiend. Like the you know how like for us every now and then your brain won't know the things that your brain knows, like your lizard brain comes out, and like there was an instinct my brain had to get excited because that sound means the Fiend is coming out, and I got so sad when my brain realized, no, stupid lizard brain, that guy can't come out because he's not here anymore. And that just sunk me. Just knowing that, because I remember being so excited when I would hear that sound, because it meant the Fiend is here. And then never gonna getting to see it again.
His very first rendition as when the Fiend first came out, that just very first, all those vignettes and Firefly, Funhouse and everything. Like, it was so cool to see. And every week I was looking forward to the, what was happening and what is he saying? Like, who's coming? Like, it was just incredible. And even when he got let go and that time passed, I was just like, It just probably got too sports entertainment for a lot of people, and it was just so gimmicky that it died. It got super gimmicky and they didn't know how to handle that gimmickiness of it. So it got lost from what Bray wanted to do to what WWE was trying to push. There was a huge disconnect there.
Yeah.
Huge disconnect. And then I think when they brought him back, it came in full circle again. And he was able to say, hey, you know what? The Fiend was cool. But you know what's even cooler?
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Wyndham Rotunda.
Yeah.
The person that brings all this to life.
Yeah.
Let me be me and let me play with these toys.
Yeah.
And they did, bro. And play he did.
Yeah.
And play he did.
Absolutely. I loved that that turn where you got to see behind the curtain and see the real him and how much he meant to everybody, how much everybody meant to him. It was so great. The Fiend fell apart when they were like, Oh, everybody likes this guy. Let's shove him into the main event scene. In 2 months, they allowed him 2 months. And then they were like, we're going to make you the champion. I'm like, no. Figure out a way to like slow burn this dude for like 2 years. Where like he shows up once a month and takes out somebody.
He
screws with people's heads. Like, he marks somebody and says, you're mine. Like, there's some, if they had the patience to really tell a story with the Fiend, like to really tell an overarching story where he would mark somebody and say, you're coming with me. and allow the opportunity for somebody to be off of TV for an extended period of time because the Fiend took them.
Yeah.
Like there would be really cool stuff. I remember when he was like targeting legends and like I he would just like mandible claw somebody, some legend, Mick Foley.
That's right. Remember Lawler, that? Yeah.
And I was like, this is an awesome way to write somebody out of a legends contract. It's coming up. Just like have him get, now basically this character dead. Because the Fiend killed them.
I know.
The Fiend murdered them, and that was it. There was something there that could have been really, really great. I always said, like, keep this guy away from a title, because if you create an invincible character, because that's what they had done, you can't put a title on them because then no one can beat them. Correct. And what they did was they put a title on him and then had Goldberg beat him. Which is,
I remember that, yeah.
Because that's not how we're going to do things.
Oh, man. Yeah. There was such a bad disconnect with him and creative. And I think that's where I started losing the faith in what they were doing with him, unfortunately. And I wasn't smart enough, because we're all guilty of sometimes not paying attention to something, of separating the two. Yeah. To me, it was just WWE's Fiend. It wasn't Rotunda's Fiend. And I was just like, God, I gotta get rid of this. Like, what the hell are they doing? You know, and in my head, I'm like, this man needs to leave here and be Wyndham in AEW. Just be Wyndham. Go take over the Dark Order. Go beat people up. Go do whatever you gotta do. It's just so crazy. It's just so crazy. Like, obviously none of that happened, but it's just so crazy.
The final shot of the lantern alone in the ring. And then that photo of Bray backlit by the Titantron, looking up there with the wings. Yeah. That was a really tough one. I don't know. It wouldn't have been possible tonight, but part of me was like, I wanted them to have like Bo.
Yeah.
Like pick up the lantern kind of like I'm going to take up the mantle and we're going to figure out how to make this into something that's great for everybody wants something like this. Let's figure it out. But I know that's not right. And certainly it's not right now. But Wrestling with Movies says, I love and hate that at the end of the show, when they did the Fiend lights and sounds, that I thought he would be standing in the ring like it's a work or something.
I know.
You know,
when they panned the camera back, the silhouette that was up on screen made it look like he was standing in the ring. And you mentioned Lizard Brain, and for 2 seconds, my brain was tricked into thinking, he's standing in the ring. How did they do this?
How did they do that? Yeah.
And I was, my heart like felt like a big murmur. Like I was just like, what is happening? Like what? I couldn't, my eyes and my brain were not in sync.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, I text my brother and I just was like, yo, you good? You know, like, he's like, you know, I'm good. But his exact words to me were, what now?
Right.
And not in the sense of like, oh, someone died. What do we do? No. His sole purpose, like I mentioned before, for watching WWE was to watch his favorite freaking wrestler try to get a sneak peek. Maybe he would come out. Maybe what now? What does he do? Because the thing that he loved and he got back into was because of this man. He doesn't give a crap about anyone else in the roster.
Yeah.
And it's sad to know that there's a lot of other people that feel the same way. What now? What does he do? And I'm going to try to keep him involved in a way, you know, like I don't want him to lose that love for something like this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Papa Casso saying that Bray's passing breaks my heart because he never fully was able to bring all Zedeus to life, especially the new direction as a psych patient in a sense. I can understand that frustration creatively. Yeah, I think a lot of people who are creative people can understand like not really ever being able to bring those ideas to fruition. It's very true. Vicky L says, thank both of you for being real men. RIP Bray. Yeah, I don't know about that, but yeah, no, I think that it is. Yeah, you're welcome. I guess is what I'll say. You're welcome.
I before we end the show, I'd like to say this. You know, growing up, Alex knows this because we grew up. Mm-hmm. We're almost the same age. We're almost 25, mm-hmm. and yep. we grew up in an era where TV was everything for us. Mm-hmm. Right, our parents didn't play with us like we play with our kids, you know, yeah. and stuff like that. Yeah, for whatever reason, they might be working. There was just like it just wasn't it, and TV right. was it, and we fell in love with every single character we met on television or film, yeah. mm-hmm. whether it was professional wrestling, cartoons, or whatever. I fell in love with Power Rangers, and when you know Jason David Frank passed away. After, you know, watching him as a kid, becoming his friend later on as an adult, and then losing him, it broke me down last mm-hmm. year, last November. I didn't know if I was going to get over that.
Yeah.
And then you watch wrestlers that we've watched that we invite them into our living room every single yeah. week or weekend, right? And yeah. then back and forth, you know, like we just continue to bring these people into our lives, and then we meet them and meet and greets, and they're real humans, and we're tweeting at them and they're talking back, and like we have this new connection with people. And yeah. this is why this hurts, because we became connected to these people, and this is why we feel the way we do. And a lot of people look at us and they're like, that's crazy, you never met the person. You don't need to meet the person, bro. You made yeah. that connection the minute you yeah. allowed that person into your life through your mm-hmm. television or through your phone or whatever, whichever way you did so.
Yeah, absolutely. Wrestling with Movies saying, I'm thankful we got even one, and if it was a match or the circumstances, but I felt like there was enough in the can to do Firefly Funhouse matches with the likes of Randy and Edge and Cody and Roman. Sadly, no, but what if? I honestly did think that the Randy match with the giant Jack in the Box like structure, I thought that was going to be another Firefly Funhouse match, because the first one was like got rave reviews from everywhere, and I thought this is a really cool thing for like, this is the signature of the Fiend. You have a match with him, but you don't have a match with the like a match with the Fiend. He takes you inside his other dimension and breaks down all of your defenses and highlights all of your insecurities. And if you can make it out the other side, then you will have won. But like, we never got that. But there was yeah. so much fodder there for like stuff between him and Roman, him and Seth. Him and Randy, obviously, but like there was some really great stuff they could have done there. And I was honestly kind of really disappointed when they were like, oh, it's a regular match. And obviously with the match we got, but it wasn't the thing that we wanted, you know?
Be good Michael to one Warren, another people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Michael Warren saying, we let him in. And now we have a firefly-shaped hole in our hearts.
That is so goddamn.
Bizarro Big L saying that Kate looking weird tonight. I don't have the bangs. Yeah. Embracing her inner Darby Allin. Yeah. The outpouring and news outlets sharing Bray's passing shows you his impact.
Yeah. CNN. Everyone picked that up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He was a force for creativity. So much that could have been done. The world is still in his hands. Thank you, Wyndham. Yeah, the world is still in his hands. Knock Bogan saying, it's funny and sad when you think about how Terry Funk got like 26 retirement matches and Bray didn't get one. And that is the difference, is that we got a chance to say goodbye to Terry Funk.
Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to say goodbye to Bray Wyatt.
We went full circle with Terry Funk. He wrestled for 50 years. That dumpster match with him and Billy and mm-hmm. Road Dogg. Like,
yeah,
I was watching him. It felt like he was already in his 50s when I was yeah. watching him wrestle.
Yeah.
These matches
He was an old dude from the time anybody started watching.
Anyone, like,
yeah, absolutely.
I was born to watch wrestling. Okay, I grew up in Puerto Rico watching with my grandfather. So for me, when I watched Terry Funk, he was already like in his 50s when I was three years old. And I was at 20 years old. He was still in his 50s. He was, you know, like he just never aged. Yep. He was like Arn Anderson.
Yeah. Some of these guys are perpetually 47 until they're 70.
Until they're like 70.
That's just the way it works. And that was
Ric Flair was another one. Ric Flair, when he was with the Evolution, he was already like in his 60s, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. It's so crazy. Wrestling with Movies says, when Cody came out, it actually hit me that it's fucking insane how the universe works. Cody had Brody's last match and is now in Brody's best friend's company on the tribute show of his death. That just blows my mind. I wish he talked about that. I did think that he was going to do a thing of like, so Bray for like a few, like a couple of sentences and then get into the big Terry thing. But I'm fine that he didn't. I think he was always going to be here to talk about Terry Funk even before we got the news that Bray had passed. I think that was already in the works to do a Cody led Terry Funk tribute because of the connection between Funk and Dusty Rhodes. Yeah. Yeah. Papa Casso again saying that the Fiend to me was the best version of his character. The company just didn't let him fully reach his potential. Could have reached Kane levels. Love you guys. He easily could have been a guy who showed up twice a year.
Yeah.
And just I always thought they were going to, that it was going to turn out to be this. That in like 2037, it's like you would hear that. And the Fiend would come out and Mandible Claw dude, maybe hit a Sister Abigail. And everyone would go nuts. Like he would be the version of whenever all silence, and then you hear Undertaker dong, and everyone would leap to their feet, even though they knew like Taker wasn't having matches anymore. He was in the building, and it was the coolest thing ever. I thought it was going to be that with Bray and the Fiend, and we
got taken away too soon, man.
We never got to do that. Hey. Who's up for a 2-minute rundown of what happened on Rampage? Orange Cassidy defeated Aaron Solo. I think for anybody who thought Aaron Solo was going to be the one to beat Orange Cassidy, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but Orange Cassidy retains his internet.
You got to channel your inner what's his name, the masked dude. Gosh, I just forgot his name on the table.
Yeah. QT had a sit down interview. With Jim Ross promising to be the best wrestler possible as Latin American champion and then defended his Latin American title, Triple A Latin American title, successfully versus Gravity.
I just love it.
Yeah. Apparently the Dark Order are ready to rebuild. Whatever that means exactly.
Yeah.
Luchasaurus squashed some dude.
Of course he did.
And the
65 million year old dinosaur dude.
Yeah. And the Outcasts defeated Dr. Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida. Apparently Ruby tried to interfere and Statlander carried her to the back in a fireman's carry. But the Outcast still won. So there you go. Anthony Velasquez saying, even the moments where Alexa Bliss got to work with Bray was special because you can tell Alexa Bliss was having the time of her life. She says in her Instagram video today. She wanted to be there. She couldn't get a flight that would get her there for SmackDown. But she said that, like, I can honestly say the times I was working with Bray were the happiest moments of my life. I had a blast. The best moments of my career. So, like, everyone. Everyone's saying wonderful things about the dude. People who barely knew him in the business as well. But there was like also like random celebrities.
Yeah.
Like Vanessa Hudgens was apparently a huge Bray Wyatt fan.
It's crazy, right? That's crazy. You know?
It is
just nuts, man.
was hoping to get Kate here, but
we know she was gonna.
Who knows? You know,
being in a Newark airport. Thank the Lord, I never have to see that place again. God damn.
No, it's no fun. I've flown through Newark before. It's not the best.
No,
it's not the best. We will see you on this channel tomorrow night for the Collision review. Will be the regular Collision review on Sunday for AEW All In. There will The Grapsody Boys will be handling that on this channel, and I and Kate will be over on 50 Select talking about All In on Sunday. All In,
baby.
Tomorrow night, I'll probably do a post-collision thing as like a little All In preview as well over on 50 Select. So that's cool. You can follow me on the X at...
X going to give it to you.
At Alex Sour Graps, where can people find you? What do you got going on,
Carter? Yeah, like I don't. X is starting to become the apocalypse again. I've been away from it. I got on the threads. Threads has been keeping me happy because everyone there is so nice and happy all day. No one's there to get you and tell you that you should go choke on a chicken. So you guys can find me on Instagram at Alexis Cardoza. And on the X, you can see me there as well, talking ish and having a good time, at _ Alexis Cardoza. And, we got a lot of cool stuff, coming along the pipeline. So stay tuned. It's always fun to just continue creating and making work. I love doing the show with you.
Yeah.
Alex, and you know, it's always a pleasure to kind of like sit with people here that mean a lot to me. So thank you.
Yep. Yeah, said this before the show, under the worst possible circumstances, but it is always a pleasure working with you, Mirror yes, Alex.
And we're both Latinos, you know what I'm saying? So
two real Latino men. That's us. buenas noches, and good night.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.